Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal says there is more than politics at play in this debt ceiling debate. He says business interests are also weighing in and are affecting this stalemate, and he joins us now to talk about this. Congressman Neal, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we'll get to the business interests in just a moment, but first let's talk about the surprise postponement of yesterday's scheduled vote on the debt ceiling plan. What was it like, I guess, in Washington, first off, to be expected to vote and then suddenly find out that was being put off?
Well, I think that considerable energy have been put into securing 218 votes by the Speaker of the House. I talked with him briefly yesterday morning, and he indicated to me that he had the votes. And somewhere last evening, after the debate actually had been concluded, which is very unusual, the Speaker did not have the votes.
Any idea what happened to the votes?
Well, I think that as time goes on, the difficulty is that the lobbying forces back home, they create the atmosphere where one is threatened with a primary on the Republican side if they, in fact, collapse their position that they held during the campaign. And I think that the danger of the primary for many of those individuals is now lurking.
So would you say that a key obstacle here, a key difference, I guess, is the provision that would require another vote to extend the debt ceiling either later this year or early next year?
I think that's one of the sticking points. And I think that what many members of the Democratic Party feel as though that would be an effort to extort unreasonable positions going into an election cycle. I think the difficulty here is that it's been very tough to convince the citizenry that this is really not an argument about new spending. And I think all inside of the Congress would agree that this is really an argument about past spending. And whether one likes it or not, the truth is that the two wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, 35,000 wounded in those wars, are amongst the considerations going forward, all of which total well over $3 trillion. And if you couple those expenditures with the Bush tax cuts of $2.3 trillion, then you can see that the morass that we currently feel is really based upon decisions that have been made in the past. And while we all understand the emotion that would lead us to the understanding you need a compromise, there's also a vetting process, I think, that's necessary to explain how we got to this point.
Now, you have been pushing what you call closing offshore tax loopholes, and that allows foreign reinsurance companies to shift premiums paid by their customers overseas so they avoid taxes. Is that really an issue in this debate? And how much do you think the country could save if that loophole was closed?
Well, I think that there are billions of dollars that could be saved on that basis. That is a form of sophisticated tax evasion. And it's interesting, I think, for the listening audience that part of my interest there doesn't come from a left-wing group. It comes from Liberty Mutual. It comes from the Chubb. It comes from the Hartford. And it comes from the Travelers. They all suggest on the reinsurance issue that they have American addresses and being compelled to compete with companies that are really offshore only to the extent that they rent a post office box puts them at an unfair competitive disadvantage.
I noticed that an agreement was reached yesterday between House and Senate leaders on a plan to eliminate subsidized federal loans for graduate and professional students. Do you think that that will be part of this eventual deal here?
Well, I think that that could be. I think it's ill-considered, but I think there are parts of any agreement that you might find heartburn in, trying to get to go. But at the same time, I think that educational initiatives, particularly for graduate students, and I must confess to you, having taken advantage of that tax preference in the mid-70s myself, that I think that between corporate sponsorship and the ability to write down some of the costs of travel, for example, to graduate studies, is a long-term good investment for the country. The master's degree and the doctorate degree, which, by the way, has a profound impact on the economies of Massachusetts and New England
right.
states, is very important to us in terms of long-term investments. It's akin to what we call the R&D, or Research and Development Tax Credit. It's embedded in the code, and that's a very important part of what we do in Massachusetts. So I'm skeptical that a cutback in that arena would have the same impact, for example, as a cutback in terms of defense spending or in terms of closing some of the loopholes.
So would that be a deal breaker for you if that's in there?
I can't say at this point that anything's going to be a deal breaker for me until I have a chance to see the print.
So do you think we're going to get...
I think you have to. Look, the responsible position here is to raise the debt ceiling. I've cast a vote already based on a clean debt ceiling. I voted against the war in Iraq. I voted against the prescription drug benefit. And I voted twice against the Bush tax cuts. But that doesn't make any difference in terms of the full faith and credit of the United States. We have never defaulted. We've been in grim times before, more grim than we are in now, and we've been able to find our way through it. So this intransigence that you're witnessing, this ideological fervor, simply suggests to me that not only is it ill-considered, it certainly is ill-timed.
Mm-hmm. So no deal breaker, not even the fact that there might have to be another vote on raising the debt ceiling again right before
an
election.
That could be a deal breaker for me, and I also will tell you this, that protecting Social Security is a priority.
Okay. Well, Congressman Neal, good luck today.
Thank you very much.
All right. Congressman Richard Neal is a Democrat who represents the 2nd District of Massachusetts.